Today is Modern Sunday, as I said in the beginning, and it's about women. Let me share with you something before I start. You know, I was told that there is a story that makes me reflect about women. And they said that a man was walking along a beach and he stumbled across an old lamp. He picked it up, rubbed it, and out popped a genie. And the genie said, okay, you release me from the lamp, blah, 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 blah. He was not in a good mood. He said, this is the fourth time this month, and I am getting a little sick of these wishes. So you can forget about three, you only get one wish. So the man was thinking, thought about it and for a while, and said, well, I always wanted to go to Hawaii, but I'm scared to fly and get very seasick. Could you build me a bridge from California to Hawaii so I can drive over there to holidays? The genie laughed and said, are you crazy? That's impossible. That's impossible. Think of the logistics of that feat. How will the support ever reach the bottom of the Pacific Ocean? No, that's crazy. That's impossible. Think of another wish. So the man thought about it and said, well, I have been married and divorced four times. And my wife always said that I don't care, that I am insensitive. So I wish I could understand women. To know how they feel and what they are thinking. The genie says, you want that bridge with two lanes or four? I love that. It's not difficult to understand women. Is that impossible? Today we have, you know, today is Modern Sunday. I would like to read some verses that the tradition I come from. I don't remember most of the Modern Sundays or Mother's Day over there in America is Proverbs 31. And today I'm going to read these verses, and this is a beautiful poem. And we are going to reflect about a wife of a noble character, the ideal woman. And so I invite you to, you know, we men, maybe we don't understand women, but one thing we know that women like to be praised or not. They like to feel loved. And this is a wonderful poem. But has a lot of meaning to us as individuals and as a church. So if you have your Bibles, let's read. I'm going to read from Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 to 31. A wife of noble character, who can find? She's worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, no harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her arms to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes covering for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for moms. Thank you for those women who are mom and dad in many cases. Thank you for those women who are everything for a household. Thank you for their sacrifice. Thank you for their love. So, Father, today, as we spend time in your house, help us to receive what you have prepared for us, Lord. As we read your word, may your Holy Spirit come and be with us, because we come in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 to 32, is a beautiful acrostic poem. And the passage consists of 22 verses, each beginning with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And the poem, it speaks by itself. It's clear. But this morning, I just want to reflect a little bit about the ideal woman. Maybe it's not, you know, it's not that we are seeking for a perfect person, but the Bible tells us about a honorable woman, and the description is so clear. And ladies, I don't want to feel guilty if you don't meet this, but it's difficult to live up to, but it's not only applicable to women, it's applicable to the church. So today, I'm gonna, you know, here we have 10 qualities, and we are gonna reflect only 10 qualities. Some people, heard this about 12 and many others. This morning it's about 10, because it's good to praise a noble woman. Like I always like when people care about people when we are alive, not when we are dead. We will not be here. So if you want to phone your mom, you haven't phoned today, when we finish the service, go and phone her. You know, and some of us, we have our moms away, or maybe they are not here. Here we have 10 qualities that are praiseworthy when we found it. And the first one is in verse 11. And we read in verse 11, her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. You know, an ideal woman is a virtuous woman, is a woman of spirit, who has the command of her own spirit and knows how to manage other people. She is a helpmate for a man, and she is trustworthy. And I wonder how many of you praise your wife or your mom or your grandma, you know, because they are trustworthy. They are dependable. They are there for you. They are there for us. Let me ask you something. Sometimes when we are worried about something and then you want to talk to somebody, who is the best person to talk? Is your mom. I used to speak with my mom. She would not think that even my dad didn't know. Because I trust her. It's good to have women like that. That we trust. The church. The church should be trustworthy. When we are part of that church, it's good to be trustworthy. How you realize that moms have like a sixth sense? You know, it's like, how many times you have said, honey, oh darling, can you, and she just waits for you to finish and say, I already took care of it. How did she know? No, they are trustworthy. To be trusted is the greater compliment than being loved. So this morning, trust is vital for a good relationship. And I want you to think about that. And this morning I have some flowers here. And, you know, and so the first thing is what? What is the first thing that the Bible says? Trustworthy. And then we are going to put those flowers there to remind us that if you want to praise your mom, your wife, the Bible said that the ideal woman is trustworthy. But not only that, in verse 12 says, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Proverbs 31, verse 12. She brings good and no harm. And now, here we have two things here. First, the wise that does good builds you up. If a woman does good, she builds you up. With her love, with her care. A church that does good builds up the community. And let me tell you, sometimes you have a bad day at school. When I was little and I came back from school and I have a very bad day. You know, sometimes you are bullied at school and then come back and then your mom says something to you and you feel, oh, she builds you up. That's what moms do. An ideal woman builds you up. When people come to churches, we have the bride or the husband. We are to build up people. She is a good friend. The second thing is that if a wife does you good all the days of her life, that means she's a close companion. She is good to be with that person. It's good to be in churches, that you go to churches and people build you up. Sometimes, I remember my father said, every time you travel, the first thing you are to look is for a church. And that's what I did. When God sent me to different places in the world, the first thing I looked was for a church. And then it was good to be in a church that I felt that I was built up. Knowing a church that is cold. A church that sometimes they don't even know I was there. That's the picture of a church. But here, she is a good friend. A person who builds up her household. Is a good companion. So we said that. So the second one, what is the second one? Well, the first one was, she was trustworthy. The second? Good friend. But the third one here is that she works with her hands. That's what we read here in verse 13. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. This concept is repeated several times. If you read carefully, verse 13, 19, 24, and we catch several images of the mother who sought to meet her family needs. Moms who go and work. You know, men, sometimes I am exhausted. You get home, sat on the sofa, watch TV. Mom comes from work as well, and guess what? They carry on cooking, but she's a hard worker. It's good to praise a hard-working woman. And that's what the Bible reminded here, that many women have to work outside home. And sometimes they are there and we don't praise her. And the third characteristic, the third thing that this poem mentioned is that she worked with her hands. Verse 16 talks about their earning. She's working. Verse 24 talks about her selling merchandise. She is proactive. She is a hard working woman. And as we read here, is that she's a woman that is not lazy. My PowerPoint is stopped. When was the last time you praised your mom? Your wife? Maybe your grandma. Verse 27 says, she does not eat the bread of idleness. Is not a lazy woman. Is a hard-working woman. And this morning, I just want you to remember that an ideal woman is a hard-working one. An ideal church is a hard-working church. God never called lazy people to serve him. We always will be busy. Because that is our Lord. He never stopped working. So the third thing is that she works with her hands. She's trustworthy. She's a good friend. In verse 15, we read, she gets up while it is still night. She is diligent. Shall we say it together? She is diligent. She is there working. And we have this picture here. And as a before dawn, she is up and is, you know, and working and getting ready. In the Eastern houses, you know, they have always kept burning a lamp that was kept burning there. And then so the women wake up just to replenish, just to keep it burning, just to have light. And that is the picture we have here. Early rising before any ordinary king is continually mentioned in the scripture. We read in Genesis, we read in Psalms, we read in Jeremiah, say that she looks well to the ways of her household. She is diligent. A virtuous woman is a homemaker. She creates inviting atmosphere. You go to those houses and they say, oh, I feel good. You know why? Because there is a diligent woman there, looking after the house. And that tells me of the great care that she has for the family. Have you realized, you know, I can tell you that I am a heavy sleeper. When I switch off, I'll switch off. I am there and I am sleeping. And sometimes when the children were little, Cecilia had been up 3 times. Something's have been unwell. One of the children have been unwell or something happened. I don't know how they do it. But the women are diligent. I don't know if they have that something different there. But that's the reality. An ideal woman is diligent. And sometimes we don't realize that. I don't know what could have happened with my children. I was asleep. And suddenly, oh, we did this, we did that. The picture we have here from the Bible is that she is diligent. So it's good to praise that woman because she's diligent. Do you remember the first one? Second? The third one? And this one? She said, it's a diligent woman. Always, you know. And now the next one is that in verse 16. Verse 16 says she considers a field and buys it. Out of her earning, she plants a vineyard. That doesn't speak her willingness just to work. It speaks of wisdom. Verse 26 says she speaks with what? With wisdom. And faithful instructions is on her tongue. How blessed if your mom is a pleasant talker. You know, and not a person continually moaning and whining and, you know. A woman who is wise is pleasant to talk. She teaches her children about kindness. And she has kind words. So we as a man, we are to be kind to our spouses, our wives. And men, we should be thankful for your wife, for our wives that teaches kindness to our children. And she will do something that sometimes we don't do. We hear pleasant words. Men, also, let me tell you, if you have a wife who speaks with wisdom, you ought to pay more attention. I have learned that lesson many times. They may have just saved you from embarrassment a time, 2 times, or 3 times. On top of that, a wise woman ought to be consulted before you make any plans. An ideal woman is wise. And praise a woman for her wisdom that imparts to her family. I love that picture. I grew up with that picture. So it's easy when you grew up with that. My father was about to make a decision. I will see him talking to my mom. And when I was 15, she said, you can come to the table and we talk together. But I realized sometimes we say, who is the boss in the house? The wife. We are the head, but we are to listen her word of wisdom. So if we have that, we need to praise that woman. And the next one is wisdom. Now, let's carry on. We are halfway through. She is compassionate. Verse 20 says, she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needed. She is intent to giving, to share. She's no selfish. Okay, this is my family. I will defend my family. No, she is aware what's going on around. In the Bible, we have a beautiful example in the book of Acts, chapter 9. We read about Dorcas. In verse 36 says, in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. That's how we know this woman. She was always doing good and helping the poor. This is the picture of compassionate. She was compassionate. And then what happened, if you carry on reading, what happened to this woman? She died. And all the people around, they were sad. If you have a wife who is compassionate, praise her. How lovely is to have a person who is compassionate. If the woman in your house is compassionate, you should feel doubly blessed. What a quality to bless other people. A church has to be compassionate. When we sense that we are to do something, we will do it. We are supposed to open our arms to the poor and extend our love to them. So the next one is what? Compassion. Can you remember all up to here? Can you shout the names? First? Oh, well, now we're getting there, almost there. The number seven, she's always prepared. When it snows, says verse 20, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. You know, she has no fear for the comfort and health of her family, even in the severest winter, for all her household are clothed with scarlet, with warm garments. Now, the word used here, the Hebrew word is shanin, and it is derived from the verb that means shine, that we were singing today, shine, Jesus, shine. But it denotes a color, a scarlet, you know, red color. Now, this kind of color are designed to keep what? Warmth. Like the white is the opposite, to repel it. So here is the picture that this woman is prepared. In those days, they didn't have central heating, so clothes was the main source of you know, to keep people warm. So this is the picture of this woman. She was always prepared. So it was a cold winter. Somehow, the woman, a noble woman, was ready to keep her family warm. In the church, we are not to fear anything. We are going to be prepared. You know what? Because the blood of Jesus covered us. The church fears not of the severity of temptation or the chill of unbelief. No, you know why? When her children take refuge in the blood of Christ. People want to do things against me? That's okay. The blood of Christ is there. There is black magic, there is witches or whatever they want to do. Anything against you, it's real. The blood of Jesus is there. And we are prepared for the battle. That is the picture. Now, can you see these women with this, I call it magic bags. Some women here, can you show your back then? How do you realize it? I call it magic. Sometimes we are there and say, somebody have a handkerchief, and they got it. Somebody has a battery. Somebody needs a shoes. They get it. I say, how do they do it? They are always prepared. So when I see these women, they have this big bag. They are always prepared. is that real? It's real. I remember being in a meeting. I think, yeah, we was a Baptist assembly, and then we were there, and they were looking for something. And then was all around there, and they asked for, there was a special, I don't remember, they were asking for a weird thing. I said, they're not going to get it. They're going to, yes, guess what? A woman get it. I have one here. Always prepare. Praise her. Praise her. The church have to be prepared. And we are going to be prepared when we trust in the blood of Jesus. Not in religion, not in liturgy, not in any theology. In the blood of Jesus, what he did for us. So if you have a woman like that, you can praise her because she's always prepared. Number eight, her integrity will make her husband look good. Verse 23 says her husband is respected at the city gate where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. What a picture. Her husband is well known. He can take care of business. He doesn't worry about anything because she knows she has integrity. In another chapter, in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4, says, a wife of noble character, a virtuous woman, an ideal woman, is her husband's crown. But a disgraceful wife is like decay in his bones. An ideal woman is a crown to her husband. And indeed, she's the crown. You know what it means? It means that she makes you look good even when you are not good. Behind a great man is a great, there is a greater woman. She makes you look good. So if I look good, it's because I have a good woman. But sometimes we don't praise that. And the Bible is telling us. There, I know several women who continue to make their husband look bad, but there's for various reasons. Because we are so, so bad. We hurt these women. So we'll be looked back. Don't take it lightly. Because as a church, sometimes we make our husband look back. Sometimes churches in the last years, bad reputation. I don't want to know about Christianity, child abuse, church abuse, power abuse. Do you see the picture? Integrity. Integrity, the church integrity will make her husband look good. And we need to be aware of this. So, the next picture is what? Integrity. Integrity. We are almost there. Number 9, she's optimistic. She's clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She doesn't fear. She knows her husband loves her. So she is there. She's optimistic. She is not moaning about the future. She knows everything is going to be all right. She's optimistic. I like to be with optimistic people. You know, when you see your glass is always half full. Because we encourage people. And if we talk about the church, there is a Bible commentary says that she is not disquieted by any fear of what may happen, knowing in whom she trusts and having done her duty to the utmost of her ability. You know, the church is not disquieted by any fear of what may happen, knowing in whom the church trusts and having done her duty to the utmost of her ability. You know, when we are Christians, we do our best. Sometimes we help people. We preach the gospel. Sometimes people don't want to, they don't care. We can be hurt in churches. But when we know in who we believe, we are okay. We are optimistic. People are going to cause damage. We'll be optimistic. One of the reasons I didn't want to go into full-time ministry because I saw my father crying many times. But he was optimistic. There will be wolves amongst the sheep. But we are to be optimistic. The true servant of God is not afraid of any evil tidings. His heart being fixed, trusting in the Lord. We are to be optimistic. A noble woman, a virtuous woman, is optimistic. Psalm 112, verse 7 says, until we get there, I will show you, they will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Are you part of the church? We will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. A noble woman knows it's going to be better. It's going to be better. You know what? Because she has the foundation, which is explained in the next one. I hope it's still working. Yes, it's working. So number 9 is she is optimistic. And finally, which is the best one, a virtuous woman, what? fears the Lord. Shall we read together verse 30? Charm. We could have good women who look, they are good men, respectful, loyal, trustworthy, everything we have mentioned today. But the most important is the foundation that will give real value to their other virtues, is the fear of the Lord. That is the foundation, is the fear of the Lord. But a woman who fears the Lord is what? To be praised. A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Many women do noble things, verse 29, but you surpass them all. We have good women out there. They are not Christians. They don't believe in God. But they said the woman who fears the Lord is to be praised, and she surpass them all. A good woman, a noble woman, is a woman who has Jesus in her life. A good church is where Jesus is the center. Nothing else but Jesus. Proverbs start with the same. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of knowledge and wisdom. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. That's how Proverbs start. And how Proverbs finish? The verse that you just read. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Now, I want you to understand this passage that says, so the next one is that what? It's a woman who fears the Lord. And we complete our story. But let me tell you something. The passage is to apply to individuals, but may also be applied to the church. And now, this poem express how much God loves us. And sometimes we don't understand how much God loves us. There is a book called The Sacred Romance, written by Brent Curtis and John Elbridge. It helps us to notice that the Bible uses a variety of metaphors to describe our relationship with God. And let me read a little bit how they describe this metaphor of loving, God loving you. They say, these two writers says that they describe our relationship to God, which they increasingly place in an ascending order. So they say, near the bottom, they says, we are seen as clay and he is the potter. That's the first metaphor. And then as they rise higher, we are described as sheep and he is the shepherd. So goes up, and then moving upward, we are pictured as servants and he is the master. So we have this picture. But they said that most of us, we don't get past from there. Oh, we are servants. We are servants. He is the master. But these two writers, they said, moving higher still, we are described as God's children. And God calls us friends. And they say, is there anything higher? Yes, say this writer. At the top of the scale is a level of intimacy awaiting us that those hearing for it, the first time they say, oh, what is that? God called us his lovers. He loves us so much. Hence, this picture is a good picture. God loves us with passionate, loving, tender care, and he looks upon us, his people, as his lovers. That's the picture. And there are some verses in the Bible, they are so, oh, this is 18, like those movies. Because that's how God loves you and loves me. One of the verses in Psalm 36, verse 7 say, how praiseless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. He loves you so much, my friend. Are you seeking for love? He loves you. You have been forsaken by your mom or your dad, your friend, your husband, your wife. There is a God who loves you with a passionate love. As I conclude today, remember, the fears of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Shine is deceptive. There is a, in the, for the Victorians, every blossom, every bloom symbolized something. It didn't matter how much, you know, what happened with, you know, how beautiful could be. Every flower has a meaning. I will not go into that today. But there is a Chinese proverb that says, flowers leave their fragrance on the hands that bestows them. So this morning, every time you give something to your wife or to your mom, you have to mean it. Happy Mother's Day. Every time we as a church give something to Christ, we need to mean it. And the verses that finish today is in the last verse that we read. It says, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Charm is deceptive. Many, we have churches who have a cathedral, beautiful buildings, full. But a church that fears the Lord, that church will be praised. It doesn't matter the size of the church. We are to fear the Lord. We are to surrender to everything He says and ask us to do, so we can bring Him glory and honor. So may the Lord bless those women who are noble and they are honorable. Happy Mother's Day. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the picture of an ideal woman, of an ideal church. But Father, help us to, as we finish this morning, as we sing the last hymn, help us to reflect upon your love, that you love us so much. And I pray for that person that perhaps is feeling that nobody cares about him or her, that this person will understand that you do care. You love her or him so much. Help us, we as a church, to realize that you love us so much and we are to give you back our integrity, our hard work, our love. And we need to be optimistic, because we know that you one day will come. So, Father, but help us to have the foundation right. Help us to fear your name. And help us to be faithful to you and obedient to bring you glory and honor. Amen.